Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well,
here's John Williams.
I'm not sure if this is a big thought, but I think it's a really good idea. We're ordering cake. Two different kinds are on their way to the show today. We'll explain in moments.
Lord have mercy.
You ever had a caramel cake, Kim, or a white cake with white icing and an American flag on the top? We've all had a white cake with white
icing. I've had a caramel cake. They're very popular in Louisville.
Well, that's what they tell me. That caramel cakes are a big deal in the South, and
they
didn't know that.
Yes.
The things I don't know. So it's a white cake with caramel icing, though, right? It's
right.
Basic cake, yellow cake, whatever your cake is, but the caramel is in the icing.
Yeah, and there's usually a layer of the icing in the middle, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Tina Fey said that if nothing else, drown your sorrows in sheet cake. Women have been doing it since Hillary lost the election. Saturday Night Live does a special series of summer weekend updates, and so I haven't been watching them. In the past, I've more anticipated them. I don't know why I'm not paying attention to them this year. Oh, yes, now I know why. Anyway, so there's Tina Fey, and she says, so just drown your sorrows in cake. And she was, like, scarfing this cake as she was saying some hilarious things. We'll get to that in just a little bit. I was reading Nate Silver's tweet, and he said, boy, did I pick the wrong week to go on vacation. But then Silver says what I've been saying.
I think there is a good week at this, you know.
Exactly.
Right now, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I'm like, well, I get your point here. He said, I'd say I picked the wrong week to go on vacation, but pretty much every week with Trump has been crazy since he fired Comey in May. For those of you keeping score at home, on the sidelines are now Corey Lewandowski and Manafort. That was the campaign team. And then Comey and Flynn and Priebus and Spicer and Scaramucci and now Bannon. I don't know if that Stephen Miller guy has a lot of office furniture, but I wouldn't order any more. I don't know how he figures out who's in or who's out, but you sure don't want to cross him. And Kelly, what's he going to do? Chief of staff. You think he'll be there on Christmas Day? I don't have a feel for that.
Think Vegas has odds on that?
You know what? Now that you mention it, they probably do.
And probably
so. Well, I've been asking my friends that think about politics better and more often than I do. Do you think X will be there at Christmas? And so it would be a Steve Bannon or a General Kelly. I'm starting to wonder if the president himself will be there the day after Christmas. I always said the midterms would be a real sort of pivot point. We'll see. But that's, you know, a year and a half away. I don't know. I don't know who's next.
It's day by day, John.
I said yesterday that I'm going to start putting a dollar in a bucket every time I find myself saying, wow, I can't believe this. Every time you're surprised, you have to remind yourself you have no right to be surprised anymore. That's Nate Silver all over again. Every day, if in fact things go smoothly, that will be the shock. If you go, well, there were no incendiary tweets and we don't seem to be at war with North Korea or ourselves, if you wake up one of those days, that will be the day to exclaim.
Yeah, people used to have a swear jar. Now you can call it the surprise jar, right?
Exactly. Every day I go, wow, can you believe this? Money in the bucket.
Money in the bank.
So you had the Charlottesville thing, and that was just so many layers of tragedy and inexplicability. There's a new word for you. And I'm still reeling from the whole General Pershing tweet, which is still up, by the way. As quickly as the president tweeted that General John Pershing, I don't even want to go into that, but that tweet about how they took care of the radical Muslims once upon a time, just as quickly as that tweet went up yesterday, right after the Barcelona attack, it was immediately debunked, as it has been for years and years and years. Anybody that's ever heard that then looked it up and said, oh, yeah, that's not true. But the president put it up, offered his advice to Spain and the world, maybe even us, and it's still there. So that's hard to explain. But I do want to say one other thing that I find interesting about the sort of debate that got the whole thing going. That is Charlottesville, and that is whether or not some monuments should go up or some should come down. I think this is a very nuanced debate. I don't think it's black and white. I don't have a prescription on this one. Maybe you do, but I do see this. The president is not a historian, says the Washington Post, and neither are most members of the American public. A survey by The Economist and YouGov.com earlier this week found that by a more than 2-to-1 margin, Americans believe that Confederate monuments are symbols of Southern pride rather than of white supremacy. Southern pride, 54%. You see a General Lee statue or park, and only 26% see that as racism. I've only recently been more acquainted with the timing of the building of, the naming of monuments to Confederate generals and principals. I was one of those people who have always said, I'm kind of nonplussed by it. I sure have no Southern pride. I've grown up white and privileged my whole life. When I saw a General Lee statue or some sort of Confederate monument, I never thought, oh, that's ugly, the way I do when I see a Confederate flag. I mean, I get that, but I've not made the leap previously from Confederate flag to Confederate statue. Hard to explain that gap in my sort of thinking, but there it is, and I'm not alone.
Well, I think the story is, yeah, you need to know when the statues were built and what the climate was when they were built.
Maybe that's part of it. Okay, but now that I know, I'm still not sure that everybody's going to change their opinion. Go ahead, Steve.
Right, because there comes a point when something might have been put up for a bad reason, but it's been around for a while, that it takes on a different meaning. I don't know.
I think that's exactly what's happened.
But here, I want to go back to something, and I want to pick a nit with you. I don't mean to be unfair, but you started that conversation by going, I want to go back to how this conversation started, and it was about the statues.
Sure.
That's not how this conversation should not be about statues. It's about Nazis and anti-Semites and KKK members marching in the street. That's what started this. It wasn't a civil argument about a statue. It was about hate mongers taking to the streets and being met by others. Mm. You know what I mean? You know I'm sensitive to that being lost.
Well, I guess so. I've only seen it as the second domino, but maybe the more important one. I mean,
if this was the Sons of the Confederacy or daughters, or pick a group of historians arguing over statue, and they were met by others who wanted the statue down, we wouldn't be talking about it the way we are. It's not really about the statue. It's about the Nazis and the KKK using the statue to argue against Jews and blacks and gays and whatever in this country.
Yeah. I'll give you that, Steve. So maybe that's what this is all about. I hope I haven't lost that focus too much. You know, I think the problem, too, you know, I mean, we all have our own myopia, and I think maybe that was mine. I saw it starting there. Obviously, it blows up when the Nazis march, and that's the bigger issue. I think the third domino, if you will, the real problem for the president, and maybe for anybody that has cable TV, is that when you were watching it, you didn't like what you saw on either side. And then the president shrunk that second domino, the bigger, more important debate, the only thing we really need to be talking about right now. The president shrunk it down to, well, wasn't it a fair fight? Wasn't the one side as complicit in the violence as the other? And he hasn't got past that point. That's what this is still about to the president. And he refuses, now that he's sort of heard that he missed the mark, he refuses to go there. He's not going to engage in that more important debate, that if the Nazis are marching and the march gets out of hand, that doesn't mean that they're all the same. And that's the biggest stumbling block, I think, for this whole country today. Surely it is for the president. And so then you just get sort of back to Nate Silver and me. You start to amaze yourself that you are amazed once again by what happened today or tomorrow. John, I wouldn't be surprised if Saturday's Trump tweet read, Chicago, take a break from the violence, go to the beach, it's a beautiful weekend. So on Monday, he can say that on his advice, millions went to the lake in Chicago. Yeah, I don't know what he's going to tweet next. I have no idea. No idea. Don't you suppose most mornings now, or middays, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and maybe General Kelly gingerly look down on their phones and just go, oh, man. What do I got to deal with now? What do I got to deal with now? Because that's what we're all doing. And that's why Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update last night was just so apropos. So Tina Fey says, bury yourself, if nothing else, in a cake. And it was spot on. She was saying a lot of things about this incongruent congruence the president is trying to draw. But at the end of the day, she says, you know, we can't fix it. Just eat. The same way you might be over drinking or smoking right now, she said, let's just eat sheet cake. From that to a local bakery in a minute.
I'm feeling sick because, you know, I've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I wasn't confused by it. No, Colin, Nazis are always bad. I don't care what you say.
Well, I don't say.
Then we hear that there's 9 more alt-right rallies planned around the country this Saturday, including one in New York City. I know a lot of us are feeling anxious, and we're asking ourselves, like, what can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do? And so I would urge people this Saturday, instead of participating in the screaming matches and potential violence, find a local business you support, maybe a Jewish-run bakery or an African-American-run bakery. Order a cake with the American flag on it, like this one, and just eat it, Colin.
Wait, I'm sorry, how is that supposed to help?
Muzzles walls, Colin. Sheet caking is a grassroots movement, Colin. Most of the women I know have been doing it once a week since the election. And don't worry, guys, by the way, don't worry. Some of the people in Charlottesville weren't Klansmen. They were independent militias. Yeah. Did you know there's over 250 well-armed militias across the U.S. that are ready to mobilize at any time? Yeah. And guess what, Shay? They're not cops. No. They're not cops, Shay. They're just militias, and they train themselves.
Give me some of that damn cake, man.
So that's from Weekend Update last night. Perfect Saturday Night Live, right? They mix the serious message in with, you better laugh or you're going to cry. So having heard that, we're all going, wow, that's a good point. I thought, I wonder if people are actually ordering cakes from bakeries. And then rather than calling all the bakeries in town, I thought, well, let's just do what Tina Fey said we should do. So I called earlier today Angelica's Bakery and talked to a guy named Paul Stokes. Hey, Paul, it's John. How are you? Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
Did you watch that episode last night, man?
I did. I was cracking up. I watched it again this morning as well.
And then you went in early going, oh, my phone's going to be ringing today.
Right. Let me start so everyone wants the sheet caking.
Not sure I'm comfortable with that phrase, but I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's a little uncomfortable, yes.
So you're African-American?
Yes, sir.
You're a Hazelcrest, so that's a south suburb. Is that considered south side?
No, it's considered the south suburbs.
Yeah. When I called your bakery today, it seemed like I had a lot of options. Do you have other outlets or just the one store?
Just the one store, 17535 Kedzie Avenue.
You're Paul Stokes at Angelica's. Who's Angelica?
Angelica is my niece. My mom started the business in 1990, and she decided to name the business after her her granddaughter, Angelica.
Okay, so you guys got a bakery there in Hazelcrest. How's business? How are things going for you guys?
It's going good. You know, we can always use more business like every other self-employed business around in the country.
Yeah, no kidding. So is it family business or do you hire other people? How many cakes do you do or donuts or loaves of bread?
We do mainly cakes. We do quite a bit. Of course, we're real busy around the holidays. We specialize in our caramel cake. Our caramel cake is our staple. If you mention Angelica's Bakery, the first thing normally comes to people's mind is the caramel cake.
I was talking to my friend Kim Gordon here, and she's from Louisville, and she said, that's a big Southern delicacy. I'm not from the South. That's a thing, huh?
Yes, it is. I'm not either. I was born in Chicago, but my mom is. So, yeah, as a little boy, I used to watch her make it by hand on the stove. And, of course, I would always get what was left in the pot. So,
tell
yeah,
me, what's caramel cake? What's that?
It's, of course, it's, you know, with milk and butter, and you got to let it cook for a while. So, it's just, you know, a taffy apple, right? So,
yeah.
It's not as hard as a taffy. It's a little bit softer, but it's really good.
So, it's a white cake with that kind of icing, huh?
Yellow cake with caramel icing, correct.
That sounded kind of good all of a sudden.
Yeah, it does.
But you know what?
You can eat it alone or with ice cream.
Yeah, and maybe a hot cup of coffee. Oh, man, does that sound good.
Yeah.
You know what, though? When she said white sheet cake with, I presume, white icing with a red, white, and blue American flag, that's my favorite. Whenever somebody gets a fancy cake, I just like a good white sheet cake with white icing and then some flowers on it, you know? That, to me, is a home run.
We can do that with no problem. We get we get plenty of different requests on what people want. We do pictures, we do figures, anything you want. So red, white, and blue wouldn't be any problem on an Angelica's Bakery cake.
Well, you know, I called earlier today and ordered a big old sheet cake, white on white with the flag. And then when I heard about the caramel, I got one of those too. And a friend of mine here at the station, I think it's Jasmine picking it up. Has my friend from WGN come by yet?
She's there. She's been here and she's gone with it. She got it fresh out the oven. So,
man,
make sure you be the first one to slice it.
Hey, Olaf, where's Jasmine with the sheet cake or the caramel cake? Isn't she supposed to be bringing it in?
She'll be here in about 45 minutes.
All right. And she's driving up from Hazelcrest, so she's going to get here, and then we'll just tear that thing up, man.
I suggest you do it on video. Like Tina Fey.
Yeah, that's a friend of mine here. David goes, "Well, are you going to do what Tina Fey did?" And I said, "No, I'm not going to. I don't want to. I want to cut it into a bunch of pieces, and I'm going to sell them for $2 each. I'm going to sell that famous caramel because it's about distribution, Paul.
Absolutely.
We need to get you out of Hazelcrest and also in the Loop or in the Gold Coast or someplace like that. You know,
I have no problem with that. We can actually put an Angelica's logo underneath the WGN radio.
Now we're starting to get somewhere.
Right,
the official bakery of the John Williams Show, Angelica's.
Absolutely.
All right, so people, let's all do what Tina Fey said. This is either about drowning your sorrows in good cake or supporting a local business. I endorse both reasons to call Angelica's. How do we reach out to you guys? What's the address? What's the web address or phone number?
Our phone number is 708.
Yep.
206-0970.
708-206-0970. I'm going to put that phone number on my Facebook page. What else?
Our web address is angelicascakes.com. That's Angelica's with an S and cakes with an S.com.
Angelicascakes.com. They're at 17535, or do you say 17535?
17535.
17535 South Kedzie in Hazelcrest.
Correct.
And then just one last thing. You know, I've discovered you. Thank you, Tina Fey, because of all of this unrest. What are you thinking or saying about this? What are you hearing, Paul?
Well, we have a lot of people who are a little disturbed by the current affairs of what's going on. But I've also hearing a lot of people who are coming out and saying the only way to really tackle this problem is to have a conversation and is with love. Because there is a lot of hate, and it's been beat before, and I think we can do it again. But we all have to be on the same page.
It's like Barack Obama's tweet, right?
Right. Exactly.
That was a beautiful thing. He said, kids don't learn to hate. We could, let's teach them love. He was quoting Nelson Mandela. I'm not doing a good job of it, but that was the thrust of it.
But I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, it's a pleasure to meet you. Keep up the good work. I wish you nothing but success over there. This is at Angelica's Bakery, angelicascakes.com, or call 708-206-0970. I'm really hungry, Paul, so I'm anxious for that cake.
Hey, you're getting it soon. The steam is still coming off of it. Make sure you share it with everyone at the radio station.
I don't know that I'm going to do that, actually. I think I'm just...
Well, you can sell it, too.
They can buy their own cake. I'm going to sell it here. I'm going to share it here. Share it here. What did I say? I'm going to share it here.
Right.
And I'll call you again. Let's visit another day, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
How about Paul Stokes at Angelica's Bakery? 129 on WGN. News with Steve Bertrand comes up next. John Williams here, the Barack Obama 3-page tweet. I'll just read the one I was thinking of. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. 4.3 million likes is a Twitter record. 1.6 million retweets was fifth in earlier in the week on the Twitter scoreboard. Next to it was the kid who wanted free chicken nuggets for life from Wendy's, as I recall. By the way, how about Paul Stokes from Angelica's Bakery? We bought a couple cakes, and they are en route. Paid good cash money for them. And then the best thing happened. Elif whispered good news in my ear. And then Bill Leff comes strolling into the studio, and how did you know?
There's a lot of buzz on the street that you guys may be having access to some key lime product.
He's sending us, as just a thank you, key lime cake. I'm the world's biggest key lime pie, so I'm very excited about a key lime cake.
Yeah, that does sound good.
How do you know that? He just told Elif that.
There's just buzz going around the town. I mean, they were talking about the eclipse, and then this news came, and it eclipsed the eclipse news.
Patty Vasquez will be joining us in just moments, by the way. I've been the biggest sinner of this, but I'm anxious for the eclipse to be over already.
Yeah,
all
me
right?
too.
I want to go back to talking about pies and cakes and
yeah, the important stuff.
Things that aren't the president. It's been a great distraction, I'll say that if nothing else.
Hasn't it?
And
yeah.
The perfect tweet this week has been, Lord, send us a sign or something like that. I don't know the one where it's, you know, Donald Trump and the eclipse are somehow married in a tweet out there, and it's very funny. Nice to see you, Bill.
Nice to see you.
The cake is coming here.
What day? Do we know which day?
It's going to be here in minutes.
Oh, that sounds so good.
If you're still in the building, swing by.
I'll have some.
AngelicasCakes.com, 708-206-0970. And you said Smash Mouth.
You might as well be walking on the sun.
And Manfred Mann. And Blister in the Sun. These are the Violet Femmes. You also said you like Stevie Wonder. From James Bond's Moonraker, Shirley Bassey. This could be a perfect song. One of my all-time favorites is... And now a golden oldie. More Stevie. Soak up the sun, Sheryl Crow. This one has to be on the list. Okay, R.E.M., we'll let you say it.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Bill Withers.
Sunshine when she's gone.
And we close it up with Creedence. Thank you for that list. Maybe you've got some others to add, but not bad, not bad. Patty Vasquez is actually on her way to Southern Illinois. Patty, we're actually going to have more people in Southern Illinois than in Chicago on Monday. You know that.
Okay, so yes, and that's why my husband decided he would find another town, and he won't let me tell people where it is because he doesn't want everyone to go there, presuming that everyone else isn't also doing the research. We're going to a town south of Missouri, and my husband called the municipality, their town hall, and asked what they're thinking, what their expectations are, and they told him, and I'm not kidding, they said, well, we're not sure, but we're expecting between 100 and 40,000 people in our town.
100 people to 40,000, we have no idea.
Yes. You can't make reservations for an eclipse. Like, no one's calling ahead except for the hotel, and that's about it, right?
Will that spot be in the totality? You'll get 100%, right?
Yes, we'll be in the band of totality.
Wow.
Just sounds exciting when you say it, doesn't it?
It
We're
does.
Heading toward the band of totality.
There's no going back when you get into the band of totality.
Yeah, we have. I really can't even imagine what traffic's going to be like, or what, you know, nothing. Nothing in our lifetime, I don't think, has there been a reaction to an eclipse like this. Has there?
I was trying to think of what are things like, almost pop culture-y things that everybody suddenly gets on the bandwagon and does. Do you remember the harmonic convergence? But that was nothing like this. Or
no.
I'm trying to think of other natural phenomenon or social phenomena that everybody suddenly was into, and you know, the Macarena. Or
remember Hands Across America? We didn't
yes,
really.
Yes, yes, but that wasn't like this. Okay,
right?
So are you on our nation's highways right now, Patty?
I am indeed. We were supposed to leave. Okay, the target time to leave was 8 a.m. And you traveled with kids, right? And maybe your wife or maybe your husband, whoever it is in your family that holds things up. This morning it was me. Could not leave at 8. And then the next target time was 10 or 10:30. Didn't make it. So we're at Hinsdale. That's as far as we've made it so far.
As you may know, now I'm not going to tell you, I hope, something that is new to you, Patty, but Hinsdale is nowhere near Missouri.
No. Well, we're spending 3 days in our state's capital first. Because we're going to the state fair, and then we are going to do Lincoln's home and the old state capital and New Salem and all those great places.
Oh, what a nice—is the family with you?
Yes, the whole family's with
us.
This
is
great.
Well,
not my mom. I should have brought my mom, and now I'm feeling bad about it.
Well.
But anyway, just, you know, no do-overs. Sorry, Mom.
So, well, maybe if you're caught in one of these epic traffic jams, because you'll be on 57. That's the only major north-south. I mean, 55 goes to St. Louis, but if you're going to Carbondale, that's 57, right?
Yeah, so we'll be off. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you our route out either. My husband's being very secretive.
Yeah.
He actually isn't giving me any of the coordinates either, so that I won't share them with people.
Coordinates. So, you know, Steve Grzanich and Dave Schwann are also joining you in Southern Illinois for the reporting on my show Monday between 1 and 1:30 on the eclipse. Are you a kind of a geek for this too, Patty?
I'm excited. I don't have just the paper glasses. I actually have welding goggles with the shade 14 ready to go. I've had these for a couple months. So I'm a bit of a dork.
Yeah. I mean, really? And did you buy them like used from a hardware store or a construction supply? Where do you get welding goggles?
Before on Amazon, before the entire world decided they needed in, they were only about $7, believe it or not. They're kind of like a steampunk, but you can switch out the lenses with the ASA-approved, the NASA-approved, the AAS NASA-approved lens.
So do you have ones for your whole family then?
They have the paper glasses. I didn't know if they would want them. They didn't seem as geeked out as I was.
Hey, kids, I'm going to put on the good goggles. You may lose vision, but I'm going to have the... I'm going to put the welding goggles on here. You kids do these dollar paper things that I picked up at a drugstore, right?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. It's more than 2 minutes in the band of totality, depending on where you are. So a few minutes looking at it with the goggles. I can share it with the family. I also want to see what it looks like through the trees. It's supposed to be amazing that way as well.
So I've heard. So when you're on with us, you know, we'll be talking about the science and the anticipation, and you'll all do your stage and scene setters. But then when it happens, when we are in the... band of totality. I want you to tell me how it feels, you know, what you're experiencing.
Absolutely.
I want some emotion.
Okay. I will prep myself mentally and physically for that exact moment to make sure I'm ready to go for you.
And I don't want you to rehearse it. I just want you to tell me honestly, what are you hearing, seeing, feeling, experiencing, that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll make sure that I'm open to the experience, that I make sure I'm not like just going through the motions or just talking to you, but that I'm completely open to it.
Yeah, and if you're just losing it, if you're just sobbing, that will be okay.
Okay.
Because Schwani's already crying. He's just walking around the hall going, "This is going to be the most wonderful thing." And I'm just going to come closer to my God and nature. It's going to be the most wonderful thing. So I don't...
I'm more giddy, I guess. I have a lot of adrenaline for some reason. I don't know why. It's sort of illogical, but it's exciting.
I don't know. Have you heard you are a lot of adrenaline, Patty Vasquez. All right. You know what I saw? Just two little factoids that I still find fascinating. That this thing is going to be racing across the country, this giant black dot, and it's going to be racing across the country at 3,000 miles an hour. I think that is so cool. I mean, that's, I guess, the speed of the sun and the moon and the planets and all. And then, zoom, there it'll go.
Let me tell you, it just occurred to me as you say that, these sort of, and I think I heard something on Bill and Wendy's show about, you know, these, you know, the moon and the sun is sort of an analogy that my husband has made about my sons, my two boys. You know, Griffin is my 13-year-old and Declan, my 12-year-old. Griffin is this vibrant, you know, just incredibly energetic kid. And my husband said he's kind of like the sun. And my younger son, Declan, has special needs. He's significantly disabled, and he enjoys the world in a different way. It's sort of a little more peaceful and taking things as you go. And I just realized I'm probably going to get emotional just thinking about that on Monday, but it is a little bit, to me, they're a metaphor for what's happening on Monday as well, the two passing.
Yeah, I'm not against, you know, using this to do or think or reflect in some profound way on life. That sounds cheesy, but... if you want to go there, I'm surely encouraged. I mean, like, you can get caught up in the science of it. You can be completely blah about it. I get that, too. But if you want to get all wound up, what the hey? I say put some meaning to it, you know?
Yep. It just dawned on me. See what I did there? See what I did?
What's that?
Okay.
Oh, dawned on me. Bertrand had a funny joke earlier, and now you did that. You guys need to ring a bell because I'm not.
Well, corny doesn't count, I don't think, as funny. It just counts as corny.
Well, if you want to do me a favor, when we're having that moment, that magical once-in-a-lifetime moment live on the radio, don't do puns, okay?
Okay, I promise.
That's all I ask.
I'm getting it out of the way, out of my system. I'll do it all weekend, and I'll be ready to go. Clean slate for you, sir.
I'm looking forward to talking to you on Monday, Patty.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
My best to your family. By the way, your mom is here. She's really distraught. She's in the studio walking around going, where's Patty? Patty? Shame on you.
That's an excellent impression. I know. I'm a horrible daughter.
Listen to you on Monday now.
Thank you. I'll be on the air tonight, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shut my mouth. We'll listen to you tonight and then again on Monday on this show, our own Patty Vasquez.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
More puns.
Here's John Williams.
Now we're going to just get through this. We're going to plow through some of these. It's 2:07 on WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Lord have mercy.
On Michigan Avenue. Thanks for tuning in. This is John. We're here until 3. Remember, on Fridays, the bright side of life closes the show. Start your weekend with a smile, we say. About 2:40, I'll ask you to call in. Tell me some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we'll smile with you. I have to say, the lady who said all of these puns, it's just as well that you get them out of your solar system, was very good. That was very good. The bar has been set very high. We told you to text to us at 312-981-7200, your similar barbs. What are you reading over there, Elif? You got some for us? I thought you said you did.
You've got the text next to you.
Oh, you handed it to me?
Yeah.
This has just been handed to me. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, John.
How does NASA throw a party?
How does NASA throw a party, John? I don't know.
Well, Steve, they plan it. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, John.
You've got such a sunny personality. I'm positively mooning over the fact that you eclipsed all the rough times.
Next.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, John.
I've never seen a solar eclipse in my life, but it sounds out of this world to me.
Yeah, John.
Steve?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop, I promise, before my humor gets too dark. Dark. Get it? Dark. It's a thing somebody texted to me. So we sure appreciate that. Here's Steve's personal cell phone number if you've got more of those.
No.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Mike, this is John. You're on WGN. In just moments, we'll visit with an ABC News correspondent about the Steve Bannon story. He's out. I guess you saw the writing on the wall. Maybe you didn't, but you can't be too shocked, huh?
So who's next?
Well, that's a fun game to play, isn't
Steve
it?
Steve Miller, maybe. Steve Miller was kind of Bannon's guy.
That's... Yeah, I guess so. I still think Kelly, to me...
She's not there anymore.
Miller is... General. Miller is such a good little Trump soldier. He's so willing to go to bat, and he's so strident and righteous and everything that Trump wants him to be. Even if he's Bannon's guy, I see Donald Trump saying, I could use this kid. He'll say anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe he's got a longer life than General Kelly, who I think would dismiss himself when he realizes that not only is he going to be on the wrong side of history, but he can't even fix the short side. So he's just going to gracefully bow out. He's going to say, family obligations. I've always wanted to pursue a career as a greeter at Walmart, and so I'm going to step aside for this other career opportunity. Mike wanted to jump in here. You're on WGN. Mike, what can I do for you?
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Hey, what's up?
I found it more intriguing or exciting years ago when you could actually see, was that Saturn passing in front of the sun?
Yeah, you know what? I don't remember that as well as some of you do because somebody else suggested that was a kind of a great historic cosmic moment. Do you remember the Swift-Tuttle comet? I remember that as being a big deal.
Is that the one where all those people committed suicide at the somewhere in California because the spaceship was coming?
I don't think so, but there was something like that too. And then you had the Hale Bopp. That was I'm out over the edge of my skis here. Wasn't that the one that flew into Jupiter?
The comet?
Hale Bopp, yeah.
It just lasted forever, just Like
a I'll tell you what, I just saw something really exciting a few minutes ago downtown Chicago. A P-51 Mustang flying side-by-side with a Y-22.
Really? Okay, well, that's not a solar eclipse, you understand. But if, you know, it makes you happy, I'm all for it. Yeah,
it's the dark side of the sun, I take it.
Yep.
That you're going to see.
Well, thanks for the phone call, Mike. I appreciate your listening. Call anytime.
All right, John. Love your show.
I love you. Thanks for joining us. Tom wanted to talk about Steve Bannon. Talk about the dark side of the moon. Tom, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, gentlemen. I wanted to comment. I'm very excited, and I've been waiting for this day, with the theory being that as soon as Bannon was out of the White House, Breitbart, or Breitbart, however you say it, will go and turn on Trump, turn on the White House, and then the rest of the non-conservative alt-right media like Fox Cable, Salem Radio, that they'll follow suit and maybe be able to make a dent in the 38%ers' minds. I'm hopeful for this.
So if Trump, I'm sorry, so Breitbart's out, he may go.
Bannon's out. And Bannon still has, you know, connections to Breitbart.
Sure,
Breitbart,
sure.
In my opinion, is to the non-conservative Trump media, much like the New York Times was to CBS, alluding to Bernie Goldberg's book back in 2000.
Yeah.
They're just kind of lazy, and they take their lead from the print. It's just my opinion that Fox Cable especially just takes the lead from that kind of thing. And, you know, people are basically brainwashed, propaganda. So I think that Bannon is going to turn on him tomorrow.
I was just reading, and one of the theories is that he's going to return to Breitbart and that he is going to, no longer encumbered by maybe, you know, the reins of the White House, he can really unleash his inner Bannon. He said he is, here it is. According to Axios, a source close to Bannon told the publication that Bannon would defend Trump now from the outside and unleash fire and fury on opponents of the Trump agenda. Get ready for Bannon the Barbarian, the source told Axios. So even as he's exiting, you know, the theory is he's still going to stay an ally of the president, and maybe he can accomplish more on the outside than the inside. I don't know what they can accomplish. It seems to me like if your agenda is to promote conservative values, get Republicans elected, I think that has to happen more from the center than the far right. You know, they're already activated, but you're losing too many in the center as you pick up too few on the far right. I don't know that there's that much more traction to be gained on that side.
Well, I guess to my point is, I get confused with left, right, center labels, and I think this whole thing is populism, Trumpism, and Trumpism is whatever comes out of his feeble mind via a tweet, and the rest. I listen to these radio stations. I'm on monitor with them, and they basically not only will they not denounce the president, but they either ignore it or back it up. And it's nothing to do with conservatism. Whatsoever.
Sure, but what about conservatives? Like what? Paul Ryan's a conservative. Paul Ryan is a conservative, and he's the Speaker of the House. So why doesn't Paul Ryan stand up to Trump now?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's all I need to say. What's your answer to that? What's your thought on that?
These guys are frightened to death of their districts. That used to be Republican, quote-unquote, conservative, there's this thing called Trumpism that swept a good portion of the electorate, and they're scared because they'll get mini-me Trumps to run against them.
Okay, so let me do this then.
There's backing people all over the country.
I hear you. I'm not arguing with you, I promise, but I'm trying to figure this out. If you were going to give Paul Ryan advice today, and you said, Paul, the objective is for you to get reelected in 2018, what would be a better play for the speaker today, to stand up to Trump, call him out by name, say this is inappropriate, I mean, it's awful, or just be silent? Today, Paul Ryan has, quote unquote, no comment on Charlottesville and the president. That's the word from his people, no comment. Now, what do you advise Paul Ryan if his only objective is to get reelected?
He's a brighter man than I, but I think it speaks to silence and all the other, our Congressman Peter Rostam, their silence speaks volumes about the volume of calls and letters that their offices get.
I guess so, but I got to believe that the tide is changing. Maybe that's my heart, not my head.
You know, the thing that struck me, and it was Matthew Dowd, who's a commentator on the, he was a Republican advisor, I think, fairly conservative, and he points out that the business leaders have left, you know, the business councils and things. But the religious councils haven't really
said
anything.
Isn't that amazing?
And that really is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? It's 2:16. ABC joins us next. The cakes arrived. We're taking pictures with the cakes. More about that in just a minute. Let's talk with Arlette Sines. Joins us now on WGN Radio to talk about, am I saying that wrong? On line 7 to talk about the Steve Bannon story. Arlette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did I say he, by the way?
That's okay.
I was a little distracted, but I am focused on you and your conversation with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Did the White House press corps see this coming? Maybe it was a matter of time. Did you know it was today that it was going to go down?
We didn't know it was going to happen today, but, you know, there have been a few Friday surprises, so I kind of had a little bit of a feeling. We knew that President Trump had been frustrated with Steve Bannon and that there had been a lot of changes happening over there. I mean, in the past month, we've seen Reince Priebus, Sean Spicer, and now the most recent person, Steve Bannon, leaving the White House.
Does this signal just, I mean, so is this a policy shift or is it just somebody fell out of favor?
Well, I think that Steve Bannon has certainly been probably one of the more controversial figures within this White House. And we knew that he had kind of been hanging on the ropes for quite some time. I mean, there's always been the talk of, oh, could Steve Bannon be the next one to leave? And now it's finally happened. Over the past week, there have been a lot of calls for Steve Bannon to step aside or for President Trump to let him go following the tragedy in Charlottesville. Many people frustrated with the fact that he is tied to the so-called alt-right. He used to run the website Breitbart, which he described as a platform for the alt-right. There was also, this week, he seemed to complicate the message for the administration when it came to North Korea. He did an interview with the American Prospect, where just 1 week after President Trump was talking about the fire and fury he would bring to North Korea if they continue making their threats, Steve Bannon came out and said that there actually was no military option when it came to solving the situation with North Korea. So that was an example of frustration with some in his administration over him kind of complicating that message.
I thought the timing of that interview was interesting, and I'm reading today that maybe he knew or they all knew that he was leaving, and that gave him the license to be so much more candid. You know, would he have done that interview if he didn't know he was exiting?
Perhaps not. There was another interview that he gave where he kind of said that he was giving the president some cover, given all of the criticism he was giving to Charlottesville. Some think, oh, maybe he did this interview to try to distract from that and turn the attention elsewhere. But ultimately, the White House says that this decision was made or it was decided upon today that Steve Bannon would be leaving between a mutual decision between the chief of staff, John Kelly, and Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's source close to him says that he handed in his resignation earlier in the month with an effective end date of August 14th, which was Monday, which actually marked 1 year to the day that Steve Bannon joined the Trump campaign. But ultimately, this was a decision from the president who had been frustrated with Bannon and wanted a change in course.
Yeah, but it's just funny because when I think of Trump being Trump, it sounds a lot like Steve Bannon. So I wonder if he's mad at him personally for going rogue on an interview or sucking up too much attention when that book came out, or if he's actually thinking that this supernationalistic pose is no longer so good for him. I don't know if
Well, we've seen some of the tension play out between the president and Steve Bannon really over the course of the past 7 months. You know, the president reportedly was upset when Saturday Night Live characterized Steve Bannon as really being the one with holding the puppet strings and that he was running the White House, not the president. We heard reports that the president was frustrated when Steve Bannon appeared on the cover of the magazine called The Great Manipulator. So there's been some tension that's been out there over the past few months, but it's unclear what exactly was the final moment that led to this.
I wonder, though, then, do you think that the president has been getting a lot of his talking points or ideas from Steve Bannon?
Well, I think that Steve Bannon has certainly been at the heart of the populist message and encouraging the president to follow that string of messaging and talking points. But it's also something that's drawn criticism. And there's people within the White House that Steve Bannon has publicly feuded with. We knew that he had a clash with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and one of his top advisors. We know that he was also clashing with H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor. And you had folks within President Trump's inner circle who were advising him to let Steve Bannon go. One of those people, Anthony Scaramucci, was on our air on Sunday voicing his opinions about Steve Bannon and why he needed to leave. So there has been some pressure from even within the White House for the president to kind of change direction when it came to Bannon.
You wonder, though, with Bannon out, no longer whispering in the president's ear, if we'll see a different version of Donald Trump then.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see. And Steve Bannon's title was officially White House Chief Strategist, but still, when it comes down to it, the Chief Strategist of the White House is President Trump.
Well, that's why I worry about John Kelly's tenure. I just wonder if he thinks he's got a very powerful job and he's going to realize actually he's not able to do it. The president's going to do and tweet whatever he wants, and you're just on the cleanup crew.
I think that you're right. Like when it comes down to it, the president's going to make his final decisions. We know, for instance, earlier this week that staff was surprised and they were stunned when the president was at an event that was supposed to be about infrastructure, and then it veered into a defiant press conference where he doubled down on his initial statements about Charlottesville. Folks at the White House did not realize that that was going to turn into a press conference. That's an example of President Trump taking the reins into his own hands and taking control and doing what he wants.
You weren't there for that press conference, were you?
No, I was here listening to it on our radio coverage.
On the floor, nearly passing out, finding it difficult to breathe like the rest of us. I was in an office. Go ahead. Tell me about your experience with that.
No, I was sitting here in our radio studio, and I actually have four different TVs and had all of them on President Trump. And just it was quite the moment. Had never seen anything like that before.
Well, here's a little inside baseball. So here at WGN Radio in Chicago, the press conference is going to come after maybe the president makes some remarks about infrastructure. And he had already had two major opportunities to talk about Charlottesville, and he'd sort of fixed it. So when the opportunity came up to take the president live about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on an infrastructure signing, I think our attitude generally was, no, we don't need to take that. We don't need to cover it. My colleague Ro Khan comes in. He goes, you know what? Let's just go ahead and throw the switch on that thing. And then we just heard live before our very ears, the whole thing blew up. I go back to my office, and I wasn't listening that closely to the station in the transition. And then one of my colleagues pops up from his cubicle, and he's got his hands into the air, and he's kind of hopping up and down and running around going, something's happening. Something's happening. Are you listening to this? This is crazy. And then my phone started pinging, and I thought, what's going on? That was that day.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm better now.
I was
wondering
why we were taking it also, and then it turned into what it did. So.
Well, anymore, you almost are afraid to miss an opportunity. You think, let's just see what happens here. Okay, last thing then. Do you have a guesstimate what's going to happen to Bannon? Does he go back to Breitbart?
Well, Bannon has sources close to Bannon have said that he is interested in still trying to help the president from the outside. But one big question is, will he go back to Breitbart News? We know that there are some conservatives who do want to see him go back there and try to push his message and try to help the president from there.
Arlette Sines, I appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work at ABC Radio. It's 226 on WGN. I got to that interview a little late, Steve, because we began the show talking with that Southside Baker. We were talking about Tina Fey last night, saying, if nothing else, just eat sheet cake.
Mm-hmm.
Get an American flag, put it on the sheet cake. Women have been doing this in this country since Hillary lost the election. Just bury yourself in something. You know, you can smoke more, you can drink more. Eat sheet cake. What the hey? So we ordered a sheet cake from the Hazel Crest Bakery called Angelica's Bakery. A guy named Paul Stokes was on, and it just arrived. Their caramel cake and their white pan sheet cake with white icing and American flags on each.
Nice.
Per Tina Fey's suggestion.
I was looking at their website. They have a thing called Angel in a Jar, which looks like a lot of caramel in a jar.
Yeah.
I want it.
Angel in a Jar. So I'm going to take a picture of this cake. It's gorgeous looking. And then we're going to slice it up and share it with the staff here. But if you want to, if nothing else, take Tina Fey up on her suggestion. She said reach out to a Jewish bakery or an African-American bakery, somebody's bakery. And if you want to help some of the people that the Nazis and Klan have been trying to marginalize over the years, then that makes sense. And order a cake today and then just drown your sorrows in the dang thing. I'm recommending Angelica's Bakery. They're at 17535 South Kedzie Avenue in Hazelcrest. Their web address is angelicascakes.com, angelicascakes.com. And doggone it, this is a good-looking cake. So I'll pause here. We'll start slicing and serving. And Steve's got the news coming up in a couple of minutes. Afterwards, The Bright Side, that's where you call in. Tell us some good news. What's the good news in your world? We could use that. You know, somebody called in a little while ago, Steve. You were listening to this very radio station, and she said these puns you guys are doing about the eclipse, it's probably best you do them today, Friday, and get them out of your solar system.
Mm-hmm.
This text is just poured in.
Stop it.
I'm over the moon with excitement.
No one is.
Hey, John, Monday is going to be sensational.
They're not that good.
You know how NASA throws a party? They plan it.
That's better. All right, just eat the cake. Do we have some cake?
Maybe it would be better if I just said no comment. Yeah, so anyway, 312-981-7200 if you have
any. The guy at Angelica's is thinking, I'm getting great publicity, and then you're killing the audience with this.
I know. Oh, hey, you know what we should do? We should call him back. Call our baker buddy back. If you can get just for a second, I just want to tell him how good his stuff is. Paul Stokes from Angelica's Bakery made for us. In fact, before we get to all of that, Elif, let's do this. So do we have the audio of Tina Fey? This is the origin of the cake in the studio today. Tina Fey was on, they do in the summer some special Weekend Update editions from Saturday Night Live. They don't do a whole episode, but they do the Weekend Update. And Lord knows they've got a lot to talk about. So Tina Fey comes out, and she was delivered a big white sheet cake with an American flag on it. Part of Tina Fey's conversation with the anchors on Weekend Update went like this.
I'm feeling sick because, you know, I've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I wasn't confused by it. No, Colin, Nazis are always bad. I don't care what you say.
Well, I don't say.
Then we hear that there's 9 more alt-right rallies planned around the country this Saturday, including one in New York City. I know a lot of us are feeling anxious, and we're asking ourselves, like, what can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do? And so I would urge people this Saturday, instead of participating in the screaming matches and potential violence, find a local business you support, maybe a Jewish-run bakery or an African-American-run bakery. Order a cake with the American flag on it, like this one, and just eat it, Colin.
Wait, I'm sorry, how is that supposed to help?
Love is love, Colin. Sheet caking is a grassroots movement, Colin. Most of the women I know have been doing it once a week since the election. And don't worry, guys, by the way, don't worry. Some of the people in Charlottesville weren't Klansmen. They were independent militias. Yeah. Did you know there's over 250 well-armed militias across the U.S. that are ready to mobilize at any time? No. Then guess what, Shay? They're not cops. No. They're not cops, Shay. They're just militias, and they train themselves.
Give me some of that damn cake, Mom.
By the way, so we called that bakery, Angelica's Bakery, and did exactly what Tina Fey said. You know, find a minority-owned bakery and not only do their business good, but drown your sorrows in it all. And one of their specialties at Angelica's is caramel cake, which I'm not familiar with. I've not had, but I understand it's a Southern cake delicacy. People from Louisville on down know all about caramel cakes. I hadn't heard about them. So we were talking to Paul Stokes, and I believe he is on line 7 again. Hey, Paul, this is John. How are you?
John, how you doing, sir?
Welcome back to our little radio show. So Jasmine, one of our colleagues here, went down and got the cake, brought it back up. We're enjoying the cake. Even as I speak, I've never had the caramel cake before, and I'll be honest with you, that sounded okay, but I don't know, caramel icing on a yellow cake? Oh, my God, is that good. Wow, is that good.
I could tell in your voice you're a little apprehensive, so I said, I can show them better than I can tell them.
I know. Really, the only way to know if you like the cake is to eat the cake. And right. But you know, it's in that, the texture of that icing is perfect. It's kind of thick. Mm-hmm. It's a little heavy, but it's not too caramely. It's not like a taffy apple. You know, it's not that bad.
Right, right. Yeah, I use the taffy apple reference that's in order to give you, like, I guess the color, but it's definitely not. Taffy apple more is a candied caramel.
Yeah.
And this caramel on our cake is we still do it by hand.
Oh, it's really good. And then the white cake with the white icing, I think a lot of that is about the icing, you know? I mean, God bless the cake, mm-hmm. but you really want the icing. That icing is perfect. That's exactly the way I like my cake icing. This is a delicious couple of cakes, man.
Really? Yeah, we hand make that buttercream icing as well.
Yeah, and then you guys just did a real nice job decorating it. So thank you for that. You're now my new favorite bakery in Chicago. I'm going to order all my cakes from you, and I'm going to tell people to go to Angela's Cakes and do the same at angelascakes.com. Right?
And angelicascakes.com.
Oh, boy, there's a difference, isn't there?
Yes.
Angelicas, right?
Exactly. AngelicasCakes.com.
And it's Angelica's Bakery, right?
Yes. Angelica's Bakery in Hazelcrest, Illinois, 17535 Ketchy Avenue.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Nice job today. Let's visit again another day, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh,
really
hey.
Do.
Yeah. Well, listen, by the way, you don't have to do this. This is a business transaction, but you, I understand you're going to send us one of those key lime cakes next week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our key lime cake is very, very popular. We can barely keep it in the store. It's similar to a key lime pie, but the icing, I think you'll like that too, because it kind of has that key lime taste or sour in the icing.
Yeah.
And the cake itself is like a gelatin soft cake. And so I really think you guys will like that one.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you and trying that. Okay. Thank you again, Paul. We'll visit next week.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
There you go. AngelicasCakes.com. It's 2:42. A couple of things we like to highlight on Friday as we wrap up the show and get ready for the bright side are things going on around Chicagoland. And obviously, everybody's pretty psyched about the Air and Water Show, which they've been rehearsing Friday, today, and yesterday, Thursday. Steve, did you see or hear any of the planes streaking by today? I did a couple of times, but I haven't seen a one of them. I haven't seen any of the planes yet. And sometimes they go by the Tribune Tower.
You haven't heard them?
Just a couple of them.
Right, okay.
How about you?
I've heard them.
Yeah. I was going to send David, our intern, out there to kind of watch from Navy Pier today, but we got caught up in other things.
That's maddening. You can never see, you know, like you react to the noise and then you miss it. And
well, that's Brenda and I were thinking about going to Willis Tower. You know, they got that brunch they're serving up there, or lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $100, but it's this panoramic view and nothing's obstructing it because you're in the Willis Tower on top. And then you've got brunch and beverages and stuff like that. But I'm afraid we'd be too far from the planes themselves. You know, I want to be literally on the ground and closer to the lake. You know, what do you see what my point is on that?
Yeah, you want to feel the rumble.
Kind of, yeah. I don't want to be too far back. So I don't know if you've done that before, but I'm kind of curious if that's really the right place to be. Air and Water Show this weekend, 10 to 3. Just look for all the people near the water and look up. That'll be the air show. In LaGrange Park, the Latino Festival is going on at Memorial Park. That's free from 9 to 5 on Saturday. Tacos and nachos and horchata and kid-friendly fun. That's in LaGrange Park. In Evanston, the Art and Big Fork Festival is going on today from 4 to 9. Tomorrow from 10 to 9, Sunday 10 to 5. Sherman Avenue and Clark Street in Evanston, live music, food, drink. All kinds of arts on display, as well as the rest of the food and beverage. That's in Evanston this weekend. That's going on, starting in about an hour and 15 minutes. It's 2:44. Let's do this. I'll take a quick commercial break, and you come back with me, and we'll do the bright side. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Tell me something making you smile. It can be a big thing. It can be a little thing. Whatever's good news in your world, we want to hear it. That's the purpose of the bright side. We start the weekend off right now on WGN. All right, we're ready to do the bright side. The bright side goes like this. We start with a little song.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse.
You can text your bright side in too if you like.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle.
My bright side is.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Let's just get it out of our solar system.
Always look.
I'm going to tell that joke to people I don't even know. Let's see. I don't see Violetta in there. I think Kevin's in the sports studio. See, Bertrand's in the newsroom. What's your bright side, Steve?
The eclipse is coming on Monday. I've got my glasses. I'm ready to go.
And that's to laugh and smile.
You're not into the eclipse like that.
And then it'll be over.
My bright side is I have a fairly uneventful weekend. I don't have to work. Well, I have to work Saturday, but I don't have to work Saturday night, and I'm just looking forward to the weekend and enjoying the nice weather, maybe playing a little table tennis. Let's pick up some phone lines. We'll start with Eric. Eric, tell us what your good news is. Why are you smiling?
I am going to eat your Lou Malnati's pizza you guys gave me last week or something for answering the question about the tax on the sodas.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I am taking my daughters back to college. And when the nest is empty, the big birds get to play.
Have a great weekend, Eric. This is it Jeannie or Jean? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John.
Hey, what's your bright side?
My bright side is this is my favorite weekend of the year, Aaron Water Show. Been out there all day, and the weather's going to be fantastic all day tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah. We've had some years where it's foggy and rainy, and this is going to be great.
And canceled.
Yeah, no kidding. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Nancy. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
My husband and I are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Wow. Nancy, wonderful. You sound great. Have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you. Will do.
Happy anniversary. For life is quite absurd. Hey, George, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
Okay, we're going to kidney dialysis for George. He's been on it for 4 months, keeping him going. He's 90 years old, and we get the weekend free.
My best to him and you all. Thanks for the call. Jim, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John, I just took my oldest twin boys to college. They make their mother and I very, very proud.
Where are they going to school?
One of them's going to Oklahoma, and the other one's going to Illinois State.
Wow. So are you kind of sad, or are you glad? Is it nice to have the house empty this weekend?
Well, you know what? I still got two more kids at home. So we got mixed emotions here.
I can imagine. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call. Just push your lips. Best of those kids. Hey, Maggie, this is John. Why are you smiling?
Well, hi, John. My husband purchased and installed new bearings for his home-built Dutch windmill, and that makes him happy, and I'm happy that he's happy. Makes us both smile.
New bearings for the windows. They could be on Handyman Poker. This is Portia. This is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, actually, it's Portia.
Hi, Portia. How are you? My bad.
That's fine. My bright side is I just dropped my firstborn son at college on Tuesday, and it's almost 3 p.m., and I have not cried yet today.
Baby steps. Baby steps, Mom.
Right. Right.
Portia, happy weekend to you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Nancy. Hey, Nancy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling this afternoon?
My husband and I are on our way to Lake Shelbyville for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Wow. Have a great weekend. You're off to a good start, aren't you?
Yep. Thank you very much. Always look
on the bright side. Carrie, what's the good news in your world today?
Oh, my beautiful granddaughter, Deidre, is getting married at the end of this month, and I'm so excited for her. Second marriage, best guy in the world. Life is quite absurd.
This is Mike. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Mike? What's your bright side?
bright side is my White Sox are sucking enough to get a draft pick in the top five, and the kids are really playing well, so they're fun to watch still.
Just don't let them win too many games, right?
Right, and send some cake over to Wrigley Field for Hawk Harrelson. Always look on
the right side of life. Thanks for the call, Mike. This is Bob. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Bob? You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
We have the best news. My oldest daughter, Heather, found out her cancer has not spread, and she's cancer-free.
How about that, buddy? How about that, huh?
Yes.
Have a great weekend, Bob. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you. Happy, silly chumps. Just
purse your lips and whistle. That's Nancy, it's your turn. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
I had major shoulder surgery in 2011, have not played golf since, and on Monday I played and I had a birdie on one hole.
Wow, wow. You know, that's what they say. If you take some time off, sometimes you come back and your game's better, you know?
Yes, for sure, and I can thank UW Madison for that one.
How about that? Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Forget
about your seat. I got advice like that once. A guy said, why don't you take a couple weeks off and then quit? That's advice for me on golf. Hold on. Let's go to Jenny on line three. Hey, Jenny, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hello. I have a daughter that works and has four kids and two grandchildren, and she was making a pitcher of Kool-Aid, and she spilled it all over the inside of the refrigerator and her blouse. And so she called me and said, the bright side is I have a clean refrigerator.
that's we're going to get it done. Jenny, thanks for the call. Let's see. I think Carl is next. We just can't get to all the calls, but we'll take Carl. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Carl?
Absolutely, John. My bright side is I'm not going to Carbondale, and if I may, do not go forth on the 21st with the 5th, or you may not go forth on the 22nd, John.
Thank you, Carl. This is Kevin. You're on WGN. Kevin, what's your bright side?
King John, my bright side starts out with a dull side. I got a little bit of legal troubles, but my bright side is my wife of 18 years, God bless her, has been with me every step of the journey.
I'm glad for you, man. Sometimes you need that wingman, that person that's going to be with you no matter what, right?
She's the best, sir.
Have a great weekend, Kevin. If life seems jolly rotten, maybe let's you see forgot. Here. You know what? We're so close to being out of time. David just strolled up with the list. Do you have some of the texters, David?
Yes, John.
All right, so what are we reading?
So 262 says, my bright side is that I get to be the best man in my friend's wedding.
Give me another one. You got another one?
Yeah. One just says, picking up my grandson, going to be a great weekend.
One more.
Thursday is my 76th birthday, and I'm still alive, which is awesome.
Better than the alternative. By the way, David, this is your last day shadowing this show for the last 5 weeks. What's your bright side?
Well, my bright side is just that I got to work with a lot of great people.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed your efforts. By the way, if you go to our Facebook page, I'm King John on Facebook, you'll see some very funny Crown Cam videos produced by this young man, David. Thanks for working with us this summer.
Yeah, no problem, John. Thanks.
How's the cake, by the way?
It is amazing. Thank you. Always look on the
right side of life. Hey, Violetta's in Traffic Central now. Hey, Violetta, do you have a bright side for us?
I do. I'm headed to the BMW Championship Interactive Golf Experience from 4 to 7, so I'm excited to see the fans and see what they have going on over there.
How about you, Kev? You getting ready for the Roe and Anna show. What's your bright side?
John, you guessed it. I'm playing golf tomorrow.
Have you not done that as your bright side yet?
I don't think so.
We don't judge
golf on the schedule.
We never judge other people's happiness. That's how we do the bright side. By the way, Anna DeVlantis. Hey, Anna, I'll play the music.
My bright side is we just, at this point in the summer, got a new Wave Runner. Well, a used Wave Runner, and we're going to take it out to the beautiful shores of Michiana this weekend.
I've been watching some of those out of Lake Michigan.
Fun.
I really want to do that.
They're a lot of fun.
I've been on those before. I'm afraid if I do, I'm going to hurt myself.
Well, I don't go out when there are big swells. Last weekend was the people who went out had a lot of fun, but it was super rocky. I like to go out when it's a little smooth. And
I don't like to be the last person, you know?
What do you mean the last person?
When there's like a trail of them?
If it's three people sitting on one,
I'm always
afraid I'm going to fall off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. How many can you fit before you're like, uh-oh?
You can do three.
It's
I don't
hard
even
to
want
on.
To do two. I want to be driving.
Yeah,
I don't want to be
that's
riding.
That's the fun.
No one lets
totally.
Me drive.
To just
you're
zoom
kidding.
Across the lake.
You can rent them on Lake Michigan. This place is up by Montrose.
You have to, like, take a test or something.
Oh, do you really? Because I saw that and thought, oh, maybe I'm going to give that a try. I don't want to take a test. No testing. It's 2:58. All right, let's pick it up here in a minute. Where's Rokan, Anna DeBlantis?
He's taking a well-deserved day off today. And I think it's a good day for that, don't
I think it's
you?
It's a good day for America.
For America. He needs it. He wanted it. And, he deserves it. He's been working hard. And I think the news today actually might trouble him. So it's a good day to...
You want me to do a roll?
What?
Another member of the administration is quitting. Was forced out or whatever, but you know he did predict this, so I would give him credit for that at this moment, even though he would be screeching about this many people around the president in the inner circle with Bannon now being out.
I counted eight.
Gone.
I made it my little list.
Did you find eight?
Well, it depends where you start your counting, but if you begin with Corey Lewandowski, which
okay,
I did because I went
there.
From the campaign and
very
then
loyal.
Manafort. And, I have eight.
You have eight. So you've got the Flynn, you've got Spicer,
Comey,
Priebus,
Comey,
the Mooch.
Bannon.
The Mooch.
That's the one. That's the Mooch.
Forgot about the Mooch.
You get
How
eight.
Could we forget about the Mooch?
Well, it was there's only 10 days.
There's a photo that a lot of people are showing on TV today. I don't know if you saw it, with the president early on in his administration surrounded by all those people minus the Mooch, and then the only survivor is obviously Vice President
Little X's
Pence.
X's over each of the heads.
But we're going to be talking to the reporter who ultimately gave what is now the last interview that Steve Bannon gave as a
With
White House.
American Progress or whatever it was?
That's exactly right. And
wow.
He's got some thoughts about he was sort of stunned to get this call in the middle of a hectic day, week for the president.
But didn't Bannon say later that he didn't know that was on the record, that he didn't know this was for publication?
Then he also said, well, what a great thing it was to distract for the president. He's an ultimate strategist. He's extremely savvy with the media. I believed it when Scaramucci said, I got caught off guard there. I really did genuinely think that was off the record, even though he didn't say off the record. He was caught off guard. Steve Bannon,
he knows
he's
better.
Deliberate.
He knows
he's deliberate.
Better. Yeah.
So there's a lot. And we'll ask the reporter that, too. We'll ask, what do you think now, in retrospect, was he doing, knowing that if you believe Breitbart, the company he co-founded, he submitted his resignation August 7th. So he already knew.
Really? Well, I still think, well, that's why it was maybe more easy for him to speak so candidly. I still think he's going to carry the water for the president, but now on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go back to Breitbart or wherever, and he's still going to be championing the cause.
A Breitbart editor who tweeted out #war. And there's also a headline out there that
hashtag
says
war, meaning Breitbart versus
war on the president. And war, basically, we're going to treat the president just like we did Obama now. He's in the same category. And then there's a headline on Breitbart, if you look right now, that says Bannon the Barbarian. So I don't know if these are just the minions around him who are upset about, you know, this happening, or if this is something he's really going to take to heart. And we'll hear a lot from him.
I'll get out of your way. Have a really good show.
Thank you, John.